Heard this song. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the mind of Christ. Praise God forevermore. We just praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an exceptional night. We get to be with all our brothers and sisters across the land, and we praise you and we glorify you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've already answered all of our prayers, and we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us all a positive attitude toward a positive attitude, and that thing will get us everything that we need in the realm of you, Lord, because that's the way you want us to walk. You want us to walk with our heads high and our swords drawn in Jesus' name. And we praise you that tonight's not going to be an exception, that our prayers will be answered tonight, because we believe we all have faith, the faith that'll move a mountain. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for provisions for everybody, protection upon everybody, and revelations upon everybody. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a great time with you tonight. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to read what it says in... Let me get it up here. Where is it? There it is. What we put in the chat a while ago, and this is Colossians 3:12-17. This is what we're doing tonight. I'd like to do from now on. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to that which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thankful to who? The Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then Ephesians 5:17-21. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, subjecting yourself one to another in the fear of Christ. Praise you, Father, for your direction. We thank you for it, Jesus, in all of your Son's name. The name that's authority. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody got a prayer request tonight? Or a psalm? Or a psalm? Or a word? Did y'all hear what I just got through reading? I'm just asking this now. I'm just asking. Thank you, Lord. Well, I got a song. Y'all want to hear a good song? All right. Glory to God. I come prepared. I don't know about y'all. I come prepared, glory to God. All right. Here we go. Not that y'all didn't. I know y'all did.
I can't give up. remember now. See, I've come too far to turn around now. Let me say it again, y'all. I can't give up. Can't give up now. See, I've come too. Lord, I've come too far to turn. Turn around now. Listen, one more thing. Oh Lord, sometimes. While on this journey, oh yes, my body, sometimes it gets all racked with pain. But I know all of my words down here, won't be in vain.
Come too far, had me to give up now. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I hope y'all enjoyed that as much as I did. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Y'all, Ben, go ahead, brother.
So I was working on the other side of town, and then I was driving back home with the company van, and there was a homeless guy walking down at a red light, you know, asking for change. And so I gave him what I had on me. I didn't have much, but he gave me one of these.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, look at that. And I said, all I said to him was, he's closer to you than the air that is in your lungs. And then he said, well, of course, because he lives within me. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And he's like, are you ready for the rapture? And something in my head was like, oh, I think he's a pre-tribber, so I don't want to say too much. But all I said was, I'm ready for the work that God has for me. Because I didn't want to say because I wanted to say that there's a lot more that's going to happen before that, but I didn't want to judge his character. And then he said, there's a lot wrong with the church in these days. And I said, I agree with that, but in the darkness, the light shines ever brighter. And then the red light turned green and I had to go. And I said, God love you. See ya. I'm sure I'll see you again.
Amen.
Anyway,
praise God for meetings like that.
Yeah. And then the last verse in the little booklet that he gave me was, I have set before you life and death, therefore choose life. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. And that's one of the verses that David taught on with the timelines and all that. That was on the 2nd. And I listened to that later on that day. So it was a bit of a confirmation. I was like, maybe God's trying to show me something here to really pay attention to this one. So
amen.
Praise God for that. I'm so happy. I wrote a lot on that. So glory
awesome.
To God.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that was a good teaching. Glory to God. Opening our eyes up to the things that God's doing, you know? Should have been there last night. Missy what? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Theo and Lana was. David and Lena was. How come y'all wasn't there? I just wanted to say. You will one day. We'll all be together. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lana.
Hey, everybody. Hey, just wanted to share. Hi, everybody. So yesterday I shared at the meeting that my team's been under attack and customers are getting angry and we're dropping the ball left and right. And I was like, well, thank you, Lord. It's just Monday. How bad could it get? Today, I find out that I had a session scheduled and the consultant that was doing it, he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. It was supposed to be something simple and easy. And he just kept running into an issue that the other consultant that was newer didn't run into on the last scheduled session. And so nothing got done and the customer's upset. And I was like, what's going on? You know? And a little later, I get an email from a finance consultant that I sent out to this company. They sent him home today and said, this is dumb. Nothing works. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And I was just like, just one after another, you know? I don't get it. And they're threatening to return the software that they purchased, you know, a while back. And I was just like, it's only Tuesday. How bad can it get? So thank you, Lord, that there's a purpose for all this. I don't know what it could be, but it's just one negative after another. These entire 2 days, and I'm just worn out. But you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm alive and well, and that there's a purpose to all this, because we know God is sovereign. We know He controls everything. Yeah. Everything is for our good. I believe that. So thank you, Lord, that there's a purpose in this, and that we're going to come out on the other end blessed, and Your name will be glorified. Yep, that's my prayer, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, Amen. We thank You that tomorrow the mountain's going to move.
Yep.
And we praise You for it, Father. Thank You, Lord, that tomorrow's going to be a different day. And when it's a different day, success comes for God's people. And we praise You for it, Father, that Theo is not giving up. He's on the mountain, and the mountain's moving with Him. Glory be to God. We thank You for that, Father. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Marilyn or Barry.
And Father, we just thank You and praise You. Praise God. Nothing's too hard for You. You see everything. You know everything. You're not surprised at any of this. And boy, Father, do we take great comfort when we reflect on who You are and who we are in Christ Jesus. And Theo is not tired. He is not tired, and he's not worn out. Father, I pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him. Father, that You strengthen him in the inner man. And not only in the inner man, Father, but in his soul. That You are blessing his soul through all of this. And lifting him up. And Father, I have seen and heard the gift of wisdom operate through Theo.
Amen.
And Father, I just thank You and praise You that even tonight You enlighten the eyes of his understanding, that You give him clear direction. And Lord, he's going to see what he needs to see here. And Lord, that there is victory. There is great, great victory. And praise the Lord, Father, that there's a great testimony. He's going to be able to testify and say, the Lord did this. The Lord showed me this. And because He always gives glory to You, Father. And He's a dear, beloved brother. And it's a blessing and an honor for us to stand together here in faith with Him. And pray with Him and believe in Him. And Lord, okay, You got Him girded up with the belt of truth. You've got Him all girded up, and He is all raised up. And He's got the answer. You've already given it to Him, Father. You answered before we asked, and You heard before we called. And we give You all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Praise You, Father. I receive it. Thank You, Lord. Tomorrow I'm going to meet with that company. And Lord, thank You for putting the words in my mouth to speak, and that You're just going to take over, and You're going to be glorified in all this. And I give You all the glory. Thank You, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank You for confidence in Theo when he talks to him, that they'll see that confidence. Not only that, the wisdom that he needs to explain things to him. And we praise You, Father. Thank You, Lord, that tomorrow, Thursday night, we're going to hear the testimony of the great, wonderful turnaround that he's got this week, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, for wisdom that You give His people that are working for Him. And we thank You for that too, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Shall Julie, go ahead. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Add a little bit, and I swallowed. Well, Father, I thank You also that we have authority over the power of the enemy. We bind up the spirits of confusion, impatience, frustration, and whatever the enemy's doing there within the client with that software, whatever glitches there are, whatever problems there are, Lord, that it's rooted out and exposed, that it's not the software, that it's something else. whatever the problem is, Lord, that it is a minor thing. And I know people get impatient and frustrated when things don't work right. So we bind all that up, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace, because it covers everything, Lord, and your power is made perfect in our weaknesses. So I thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear a really good report. Amen.
Man, thank you, Father. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Just a test. A pebble in the road. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, just before I came on, I was listening to one of the studies, and David Eales used an example of the movie Ben-Hur. And in that movie, Ben-Hur is adopted, and he gets the ring of this Roman man that is really high ranked in the Roman Empire, and he gets to have all his power and say, you know, he's even higher than a centurion, you know, and we're adopted too. So we have the strength, because his dad gave him a ring, and he had the same power and strength as his dad, to say of his dad, because he was his adopted son now, and he was taken as a son. And then I'm just saying this as a bit of an encouragement that we're adopted also. And plus, when we come, we have a nice song here. I come so far, I can't go back now. So we've been through so much that the song was so fitting with what I was showing there with this ring and this adoption that we have through our Heavenly Father. And that's a lot he gives to us in his authority that we have through his new life in Christ Jesus that we have. And praise God. Glory to God. So I just want to encourage people with that, even in these little things that God shows you when you're just about to come on, and when you had a little bit of a study before, and it's just wonderful. Praise God.
Glory be to God. That's a good thing. Lord which works things. Kind of, he's real cohesive about getting things. And I like the song and what you've studied and things like that. That's awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, that's a good one. Julie, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Praise God. Yeah, that's right. He sure does. Amen. All right, anyone else? Has anybody got a good word? Good scripture? All right. Anybody want something to talk about? Got any questions? Anything you'd like to share? Benjamin's getting ready. He's tuning up, I can tell. Praise God. I tell you what, I need to pray. I want to pray for my middle daughter. Lord, I lift up Allison to you, and I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in her. I believe because of the prayers that we've prayed that you are doing a mighty work in her. I thank you, Lord, that you straightened her out and putting her on the road to repentance. And not only that, to deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, it is done. I declare it, decree it by the word of the Lord. that she is healed, delivered, and set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Now, I've got something I can share if y'all don't have anything to share. It's actually Oxfuller on quantum faith. Y'all want to hear it? Okay, this is by Steve McVeigh. And he quotes, first of all, he quotes Matthew 9:29, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." Positive thinking is a popular field of study for good reason. It's not just to make you feel good either. It has been linked to improved heart health, better sleep, and a longer lifespan. In addition, people with a positive outlook tend to be more resilient and able to handle life challenges more effectively. By cultivating a positive outlook, you can reap the benefits of improved physical and mental well-being, increased happiness, and a more fulfilling life. And this isn't an empty self-help technique. And as you'll see, the importance of a positive outlook is substantiated by both science and scripture. The body of scientific research that highlights the value of having a positive outlook and its impact on both physical and mental health is continually increasing. Studies have shown that people with a positive outlook have more robust immune systems and lower levels of stress hormones and experience less anxiety and depression. Cellular biologist and author Dr. Bruce Lipton wrote, "The mind is the most powerful pharmacy in the world. Your thoughts can create health or disease, happiness or misery. The Bible says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." Proverbs 17:22, New Living Translation. Philosopher and psychologist William James said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitudes." In Matthew 9:29, Jesus said that it will happen the way you think it will happen. Your outlook on your circumstances can immeasurably transform your life for the better when you practice faith grounded in knowledge of the love of God. An enlightened outlook will give birth to an expectant outlook. But there's also such a thing as negative faith called fear. Its power is every bit as great as positive faith. When Job found himself in catastrophic circumstances, he spoke a very telling statement when he said, "What I have always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes." That's in Job 3:25-26. So what you think becomes the rails that brings what you get into your life. Romans 8:5, the English Standard Bible says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Think this and get this. Think that and get that." That's how the Bible says it works in everyday life. For example, a person with a positive outlook on a job interview can confidently approach the interview, express themselves clearly, and present their skills and qualifications effectively. On the other hand, a person with a negative outlook may feel anxious and perform poorly during the interview, reducing their chances of being offered the job. Our outlook also affects our resilience in facing challenges and setbacks. A person with a positive outlook is more likely to see challenges as opportunities for growth and to learn from their experiences. But in contrast, a person with a negative outlook may become discouraged and give up when faced with obstacles. An admirable example of this is Malala Yousafzai. Boy, I can't believe I said that. A Pakistani education advocate and Nobel Prize laureate who was shot in the head by the Taliban in 2012 for advocating for girls' education in Pakistan. Yet despite this severe attack, she survived and continued her activism, eventually becoming the youngest Nobel Prize laureate in 2014 for her advocacy for children's rights, especially the right to educate. Today, she is an international activist and speaker, continuing to raise awareness and advocate for girls' education and children's rights. Now, how does quantum science inform and fortify faith? Well, you know that the universe is not solid and that particles and matter exist in a state of potential called superposition until they are observed. This observer effect demonstrates the way that focused intention has a physical impact on the world around us. At the moment we focus our intention on a specific outcome or goal, we start to influence the potential state of reality. And this idea suggests that our thoughts and intentions can shape and create the reality we experience. Now, thoughts and intentions are elements of faith. They can be identified by where you place your attention. Where you look reveals what you expect. And what you expect is what you will likely experience. Attention equals intention or expectation and results in quiffs popping. I think we'll explain that a little bit later, quiff popping. So much evidence now exists to show that what we focus on often transitions into actual experience. Lynn McTaggart is a best-selling author and journalist who has written extensively about the power of intention in shaping our reality. This researcher has demonstrated through empirical studies how a focused thought or desire can change the physical world. McTaggart emphasizes the importance of developing a clear and positive intention and of being in a relaxed, receptive state when setting an intention. She also teaches that it's imperative to believe in the power of your intention and to remain open to receiving the manifestation of your desires. McTaggart's teachings also emphasize the importance of being in a state of gratitude and love when setting an intention, since these positive emotions can boost the manifestation process. All right, I'm going to stop there for a minute and ask if there's anybody got any questions so far or any answers. Okay, you ready to go on then? All right, we're headed on. Is this okay to share with y'all? Is this helping anybody? Helping me? Okay. The intention experiment. One experiment McTaggart conducted was the intention experiment, and it was done in collaboration with several universities and organizations and is often referenced as evidence of the power of intention. In this study, participants were asked to focus their intentions on a specific target. In one case, a beaker of water, a glass of water, while scientists monitored the target for any changes. The results showed that participants' intentions significantly impacted the target, with the beaker of water changing its structure in response to the focused intention. And then there's the remote healing experiment. Another experiment, the remote healing experiment, aimed to test the impact of intention on physical healing, even when it was done a distance from the targeted recipient. Participants were asked to focus their intentions on a distant person for a set amount of time every day. And the results showed a noteworthy improvement in the person's physical health, suggesting that distant intention can impact physical reality. In simple terms, the experiment showed that people could send healing thoughts to somebody far away and they could make him better. We've seen that happen. And a biblical example of this is found in the fourth chapter of John in the town of Capernaum. There was a royal official whose son was very sick. The nobleman had heard about Jesus and believed that he would heal his son. And he traveled to Cana, where Jesus was, to ask for his help. When he found Jesus, the nobleman begged him to come to Capernaum and heal his son. And Jesus replied, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe." John 4:48. However, the nobleman persisted, saying, "Sir, come down before my child dies." John 4:49. Jesus then said to him, "Go, your son will live." John 4:50. The nobleman believed Jesus and set out for Capernaum. And on the way home, his servants met him and told him that his son was alive and well. The nobleman asked him what time his son got better, and they replied, "Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him." John 4:52 and 53. And the nobleman realized that this was the exact time that Jesus had said, "Your son will live." Now here's an example of science and faith pointing to the same ultimate reality. Was it a quantum event or a spiritual event when Jesus healed this man's son? Yeah, it was both. We have to come to the place where we stop separating the spiritual from the scientific and recognize that true science allows us to peek behind the curtain and see how God works in our midst. And he wants us to know that we can more consistently and effectively live like the kingdom citizens we are. Another example was the story told in Matthew about a Roman centurion who also wanted his servant to be healed. The man came to Jesus and pleaded with him to heal his servant who was lying at home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus agreed to come and heal the man. However, the centurion said to Jesus, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed." Matthew 8:8. This man understood the reality science is finally explaining to us today. Jesus was amazed by the centurion's faith and said to the crowd that had gathered, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith." Matthew 8:10. Then he said to the centurion, "Go. Let it be done for you according to your faith." And the Bible says, and the servant was healed instantly, Matthew 8:13. Can you see in these instances how science and faith point to the same reality? Were these quantum events? Of course they were. They were also incidents empowered by the Spirit at work in and through Jesus Christ. God works through science. How many of you know that God is science? A quantum understanding doesn't dilute the miracle. I hope it encourages you to see that you are capable of a faith that sees miracles. And the experiments conducted by MacTaggart, mentioned earlier, among others, provide evidence for the power of intention and suggest that faith is connected to where we focus our attention. It can impact the physical world in measurable ways. Your life can change for the better when you understand how the Spirit of Truth who is also the spirit of science, will work through you when you have eyes to see the reality of these things. Many people's experiences in life don't change because they have been wired to focus on the negative outcome and only see life through a dark lens. And it doesn't have to be that way. The Bible says it is possible to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do we do that? The answer is to change the way we think. And when we change how we think, we change our focus. And when we change our focus, we change our expectation. And when we change our expectation, we change our outcomes. We are not victims. With the spiritual approach of scientific applications, we can change how we think, and our lives can change. Neuroscience teaches us that we can alter our physical brains through neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity refers to the brain's ability to change and rewire itself in response to experiences we have. It deals with the way the brain creates neural connections and recognizes existing ones in response to changes in our thinking, behavior, and circumstances. I'm going to stop there just a minute and check with y'all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nobody does? Well, I can stop. Neuroplasticity. Years ago, when some of us were growing up, they had told us that the brain does not reproduce new brain cells. They told us that in science as we were growing up in school. But they have since found out that no, that's not true, that the brain does restore the lost cells you had the day before within 24 hours. And it's also possible to break down those old strongholds in your mind by confessing and reading the Word of God. You know, those strongholds of unbelief and whatever it is, you know, that are contrary to the Word of God can be broken, can be brought down by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. You speak those verses that tells who you are in Christ. Confess it. And they say it doesn't take very long either. You can change your very outlook. You're not your outlook, but your look, by how you confess. Just like the Word says. That's what faith is. It's believing, confessing what you believe and what you want to happen into an expectation. After that comes the outcome. Anybody got any questions? Is this helping anybody? I need to ask because I can't read your mind much as I'd like to. Yeah, I know it sounds like a lot of science, but I'm telling you what I've read about quantum faith. It just proves the Bible. Quantum physics proves the Bible. Yeah, Ben.
I've been, ever since the little teaching that I've been really focused on is really reading the Word now with this whole knowledge of quantum faith and, you know, the timeline faith, choosing the timeline of faith kind of thing. And when before, but now I'm reading, like Colossians, I was reading today. If ye died with Christ from the elements of the world, why as though living in the world do ye submit to ordinances? That's Colossians 2:20. And so I'm now looking at that in a perspective of Well, there's the spirituality of it, and now I'm sort of seeing like what can happen like in the quantum level of it all. And so with what you're saying about the renewing of your mind, having not that mind of the physicality of it, but like my brain is now literally being rewired on that quantum level, and my, and if it can happen to my brain, it can happen to my body physically. And it all happens from the spirit. I don't know. Something was really kicking out to me with that verse. I got a bunch of verses in my head after I read that. I got Romans 12 and 2. I got John 17, 16, Matthew 6 and 33, and Ephesians 2 and 6. These are all verses that are saying that we are now among a kingdom that is spiritual. And so beyond the quantum side of things, because quantum is more of a invisible physical world to our eyes, but now we need to be looking at like the invisible spiritual world that we can't see with our physical eyes. And it's just, it's got me thinking about, I guess, because the quantum thing is a little easier to manifest in a flesh mind than it is to be the spiritual side of things. And I don't know where I'm kind of going with this, but like the whole Bible has just opened up kind of like a new chapter to me of choosing life instead of the death, and noticing that if I believe in the timeline of faith, I had this worded so well last night. It's just like, if I know I'm in that timeline of faith, then I know I'm in the timeline that God has put in front of me, and I'm in that timeline, and he's orchestrating me in that timeline in a quantum sized level, moving my mind and my body. And it's just so comforting to know that. That's why there's so much peace, and why peace is so important, and how we portray that in our lives, because we live knowing that God is working through this timeline of faith and us knowing it. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
you're doing great. You're doing great, man.
It's opened up so many doors that I didn't see before in the Bible. And I'm sure Paul didn't really know what quantum physics was, but he had that sort of mindset already of peace. Now we sort of have, well, the technologies and the knowledge that we have now, we can sort of see it on a quantum level happening, and we can kind of add that to our faith. That doesn't change the faith thing, but I don't know. Am I saying anything to anybody that's kind of building on it, or I feel like I've lost a couple people?
No, that timeline thing that you're talking about, that's critical, because the timeline shows you where you are. If you are speaking faith, you're where you need to be. But any time that you speak against your faith, well, I don't know why God isn't doing something, because I prayed the prayer of faith, and you've just stepped back onto another timeline. You've taken yourself out of the timeline that you need to be on, which is enduring in your faith to the end. That's what that timeline thing is. Every time that you make a negative statement about your faith, or whatever, you're stepping back into another timeline, and that's the timeline of the flesh man. Because you don't see it. You know, it's not doing what you want it to do, but it's doing what God wants it to do when you speak those things. And that's what quantum quantum faith showed me, Ben. It was a physical thing. It showed me the physical aspects of what our faith is. And once you understand the physical aspects of what your faith is, just like you were talking about, you stay on that timeline. You don't give up. You just keep going. Makes no difference what's ahead of you. Makes no difference there's a mountain in front of you, because that mountain's got to move at some point in time. It's got to get out of your way. And that's what God wants. He's down there. He said, look, he's up there. He's saying, my gracious, look at Ben. Man, he's right at the forefront of this faith business already. And that's where you want to be. That's where you got to be. You can't give up. Just like that song we just got through listening. What you going to do? Go back? What you got to go back to? Your flesh? Come on now. You don't want to do that. You want to live in the supernatural world of God. You want to live in the supernatural faith that Jesus had. And he said, what did he tell us? He told us the things that you've seen me do, you going to do. Greater things. But we do it and give glory to God, don't we? We do it and give glory to God because we know that it's not anything that we do other than our faith and expressing it and thanking God for it. And that's how you stay on that right timeline. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. You're definitely, it's interesting that I never really saw it as a timeline. Because I never even put time into a perspective of it, because God doesn't live in time, but he lives in light. So I was like, okay, then I guess time doesn't exist. But this whole thing of if I'm not going to live by faith, then I'm not going to see the end point of me bearing fruit and him working through me to the perfection that he wants me to live. So if I'm not looking by faith, I'm not looking in light, really. I'm looking, I don't know, somewhere else. Not by faith, but by what I see in front of me.
That's by your flesh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure y'all know this, but and I knew this before, but I didn't really have it in here yet. So, like, in my soul, like, I had the knowledge, but the understanding wasn't there. And, you know, like, it's just, can't wait to keep going through the rest of the books and finally have that perspective of it all. Because now verses are popping into my head, like, okay, yeah, you know, and it's exciting. And I can see the smile on my dad's face.
Yeah. Well, you know, the quantum faith teaches you that to imagine who you are. Imagine who you are in Christ. Imagine you're Jesus. Look at Jesus. That's Jesus. Look, that's me. Yeah. No, that's Jesus.
Yeah. I was reading the first chapter in Colossians, and it has a real good spiel on who Jesus was. For in him were all things created in heavens and upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, and who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have preeminence, for that the whole fullness was pleased to dwell in him. I read stuff like that now, and it's just like all of that, and I'm included in it. It literally just said that, I know, but I'm included in that, in him, in Christ. In that timeline of faith.
Yeah.
And it's glory to God for that, that I'm he's given me that by grace. Glory to God. Really, he's so amazing.
What quantum faith did for me is to show me in reality what's going on in the spiritual.
Mm.
And when it does that, you know, you can grasp it. As you understand now, I can't speak against what I've already prayed. I sure don't want to. We've seen the timeline thing in action firsthand. I think Davis has alluded to it some, but it works just exactly like they say it does. If you get into unbelief, your old man is there.
Yeah.
Like, if you staying in faith, your spiritual man is there. Your carnal man is back on the other timeline. That's where he needs to be and stay. Go ahead, Ben.
Walking in life, like with, I would say, worldly people, it's just like, oh, you know, that guy's angry, so he has a spirit of anger. Oh, that guy's lying, so he has a spirit of lying or whatever. But then when the quantum faith thing kind of kicked in, and it's just like, okay, he's angry, and now what's happening to what's within him is that his body is physically changing because of that anger that's within him. And that's kind of bearing on his body. And then the spiritual realm upon that is his anger sort of emanating and waving, like those electrons are coming out like a wave around him, and it's affecting the people around him. And it's just stuff like that that kind of rolls in my brain. But then when he's angry at me, you know, I have authority over that anger spirit, so it doesn't affect me at all. I totally have faith in that because I have the authority over the anger to not let it bother me or destroy my spirit or soul. He can still stay angry. I can say in Jesus' name, don't be angry anymore. He might still be a little angry, but he might calm down a little bit. I have faith that he might, you know, tone it down a little, but... It's just like, I'm light, and whatever spirit he is having is dark, and his dark spirit sort of puts more of a curse on him. And that sort of feeds into the flesh, what brings more of sin and more death. That's why the manifestation of sin is death. That's the full maturity of sin. You know, that's something else that was opened up to me. It's just like, sin has gotten so bad that it's destroyed humanity generationally. And that's sort of built up to this point thousands of years later. And look at us now. People used to live for thousands of years. Now we're living up to what, 70 or 80 or something? That's because of all the sickness and the death and the disease and the sin that has cursed our bodies. It's gotten from a quantum level, from spiritual to quantum to, well, what we have now.
Yep. All right. That's good. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
So what do we do when we run into these people who want to start us up in a different way? Seeing that these people are obviously flesh and there's no way of changing them. So how do you get around this? Yes, you can walk away, but what if he follows you? So I guess the question is he's on a different wave, on a different walk, you know, and how do you get out of this? Or maybe that's not the right way of saying it.
You walk away.
Yeah.
You don't want to get on that same timeline that they're on.
No, you don't. And, but I guess you really have to charm the serpent sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why what does that mean? You have to bring one of those little flutes with you. When the serpent comes out of the basket.
Maybe so. Well, you give them the truth is what I do. You know, the truth is what sets them free, you know.
No, sometimes you get those people that just have an infectious smile, you know, and they can do it. They can just do it with their smile there.
Yeah.
But I guess us, on a human perspective, this person is going to have to either calm down somehow, or the Lord, who is sovereign, who sent them in the first place. That's what I guess I was getting at, is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. So, so we have the advantage. In the Lord's sovereignty, we should have the advantage always, because he is guarding the deposit that he put in us in the first place. So that's, I just wanted to bring up how you maintain that timeline, because, you know, even though we have in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we also have 2:1, you know, if any man, I told you these things that ye may sin not. So you got to really, and sometimes don't just end your reading at the end of a chapter. Read a few verses in the next chapter, because it might be something important. The same way, if you were going to read Romans chapter 7, the last verse, you need to read Romans 8:1-2 at least to continue on through the same thought the apostle was trying to relate, because he's speaking this whole letter off the cuff to the people. All of the book of Romans, he's speaking to them. Oftentimes people do a study and they'll end their study at the end of a chapter. Read a couple of the verses in the next chapter, because it may not actually stop there on the thought pattern with that apostle saying. So, and that's the same with 1 John 1:9 and 1 John 2:1 and so on. You know, I just want to bring that up. If anyone's studying the Bible, ending their study right at the end of the chapter and not going to read like Romans 1 and then starting Romans 2, a couple of verses there too, and maybe end the thought at a good place, you know, which is difficult when you have some of the bigger books, you know. And in reading it, the Lord will direct your mind, even just with one word, you know, to where that word is, but perhaps the meaning, for he might say the word yoke. And he'll say, well, Andrew, you saw that yoke in a positive way over here in this verse, and then you saw the word yoke over there in a negative way. So that's two different timelines there. That's two different behaviors, and it's two different spirits. It's two different words. And what really freaks you out is when you read the word in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, if you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. But let's say you have a man who's puffed up and he's reading it according to the letter, but you read it according to the spirit. But because of the way the denominationalism has gone, he's going to read it in that leavened way, and you're going to read it in an unleavened way. You're going to be built up by it, and he's going to be puffed up by it. Both is knowledge, as it says in Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, but one is built up and the other is puffed up in that first verse in 8:1. And that's why of 1 Corinthians. So the Lord has interesting ways of sometimes teaching you. And of course, he's really, what he's trying to teach you is, I always take this as a parable. The Bible is a parable, but everybody's life is too. And we have to find our lives in that right parallel with God's word, in the right parable, because living is the word of God and active. That's the real place you want to be. In the living is the word of God enacted. Because we put on that garment of Christ and we got to act it. We got to depend on the Lord to act through us on it too. And we need to have an overhaul. It's kind of like when they put that old Camaro up on the stands there and they got to swap everything out, you know, and put on all the fresh chrome in the metal and in the engine. We get an overhaul of our body and we get swapped out for eyes that see through the verse, which is power, through the spirit, which is power, and through the blood, which is power. And, yeah, so we find those verses, but they have to be activated by God. Because you can carry a verse, but it has to be manifested by God. It has to be shining in us, is a good word. The children shine really well with this. Mm-hmm. And, little children can shine and they sometimes surprise us. And because in him was life and this life is the light of men. The light shone in the darkness and the darkness couldn't apprehend it. So, and of course we have that apprehension verse all the way in the third chapter of Ephesians. And of course there you apprehend the height, width, length, and depth. And the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So the apprehension comes from the comprehension, and comprehension would be the teaching the Holy Spirit is telling you, but now we have to have every good word and work. So we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So that in itself is the timeline we want to be on. And we desire that. And all we want to do is love the Lord and have victory all the time. And see him face to face. And we see him darkly, but then we will see him face to face. You know, at the very end of John chapter, the third John, he said he didn't want to write it with ink and pen anymore. He wanted to see him face to face. So there is truly, it's not Facebook, okay? It's the face to face. And you can have a problem sometimes talking to someone over the phone, because you can't really see their face to see how they're reacting to what you're saying. And, you know, sometimes if you all look kind of dazed, then you just wonder if someone's understanding what you're saying. Anyway, face to face is what we have, because there's only one face in the mirror anyway, even though we're all looking in a mirror. That's a good way probably to explain it. From glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. And of course, because of his fullness, we all received the grace upon grace. So the power of that grace in Christ Jesus to be strengthened in that grace. And the strength is a light in you. So it seems to always go back to the power of God, which is in the Word, the Spirit, and the light, and the life. Yeah. If we can all walk in the love, in the life, and in the light, it would be perfect. But then again, as soon as he called you, you were perfect. Now he wants to sanctify us more, sanctify us to be his mature sons and daughters. And that's a glory attained. And like the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech, and night by night showeth knowledge. And we've got glory to glory. And there's three, there's the sun glory, the moon glory, and the star glory. And when the sun comes up, there's a lot of glory there. And that's our potential. For the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon and the glory of the stars. And each star differs in glory. And the heavens declare this glory in a physical way, but there is, they're the size of a mustard seed. Put it up against a star. There you have it, you see. And that's just interesting in itself. I'm not saying there's no scripture in that, but someone else has to maybe teach on that. But there are people sometimes who can speak so much in the spirit, it's sometimes hard to understand for some of us. And even when we read the Bible, some people say, well, why is this so hard to understand? You know, and it just gets more clearer and clearer to us as to what's going on today. Yeah. So, like, there's key verses there, and you can see why the history went the way it went when you read some of the chapters in Revelation. Because you have to build up to that, those certain verses that are even negative there that he warns us about. On the positive attitude those people have to actually have when they're going through that time, the right timeline. That is going to be in the next, in the time of the book of Revelation is a very wondrous thing. It's a very fantastic thing that no longer would they all be, perhaps they won't be mentioning in the kingdom of heaven, the timeline that God took them through the Red Sea and in the wilderness. They'll be mentioning the timeline that we're going through, that we have the potential to go through as the future unfolds. So I guess that's why we have to be ready. You know, I struggle with a lot of things, you know, the craziness of what I had to go through. And sometimes it comes back to haunt me, but you know, the things I pick up, the Lord's given me to pick up, and I come against it with the sword of the Spirit. And some of those things that take a little longer, I'm going to still come up against it. You know, I'm still remembering your loved ones that you want to see the Lord. Well, you got to pray it down again, because the junk is always coming in. You know, it's like the person addicted to television and video games and YouTube, you know, and the junk is coming in. They don't have your defenses. They don't have the full understanding that they should have. They got some junk in all these different denominations. They're not all speaking the same thing. They don't all have the same mind, and they don't have all the same judgment. So there's different things there. If there's a denomination, there is a separation, there is a division, and they can get darn right factious about it too. So you want to stay away from them. And even though we've experienced faction for a while here, we still want to want our Lord God, the Almighty, to expose these things In our natural time here on earth, we fight the good fight of the faith. We have known people, some just recent, that are not here with us anymore. And we sometimes wonder, well, what happened there? You know, should we intervene on these items? Or is God setting it in stone? You know, is he going to be gracious for some of these people? So that's we have to have our Father's desire when it comes to that. And sometimes, you know, we can just be kind of a little bit loony, or I don't know if that's the right word, in help of someone who needs help. You know, it says, pull your friend out of the fire there, your brother out of the fire, and be in fear yourself as you're pulling them out sometimes. So, well, that's, I can't give you the verse on that, but you know, this is an eternity we're looking at, and we need to be in the Spirit. We need to always be in the Holy Spirit truth that He gave us, and we need to follow that love always. The flesh thing is a hard thing to battle sometimes. And he has sometimes the opportunity comes to fight the good fight of the faith when you don't really want to do it at that time, because you want to be reading the Bible, but it comes and attacks you when you're even reading the Bible. You're, what are you doing here now? Get away from me. You know? And you gotta cast down that reasoning. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge. You have the glory of God's knowledge in your soul, and you gotta fight that fight for that. You have the glory of God's wisdom with you. You are a light on. You are a child of light. And we need to have that light, because it's our very life. And we need to continue in this life. And we need to be encouraged. It's like when you have a man singing and praising God, you get courageous. But when you have a woman singing and praising the very same song, it's almost like a nurturing. And you know, sometimes they do the songs and they say, okay, now only the men. And then it is well with my soul. It is well. All the men saying it. And then the women go, it is well. And you got courage and nurturing at the same time. And it's interesting how that can work sometimes. When you're in the vicinity of people worshiping God, and you go, it sounds different when the guys sing it.
Deep voice.
And when the women sing it, it's a nice, high, wonderful singing voice. Even when an older man or an older woman sings too. And I know that it affects little children, because I remember hearing it myself, you know. Just, and that's why even when they sing, for instance, national anthems, it can affect even a child in a way that's not so right. Anyway. Praise God. Glory to God. we all sometimes need encouragement. And I'm the first to always listen for an encouraging word in the times we're in now. And it's very helpful for people who are even alone, you know, and people who are, well, they go to work and they need some encouragement. And then, you know, the next time, you know, that person will be encouraging others that are in their day of needing encouragement. And that's why fellowship is a wonderful, wonderful God-led experience from all the body of Christ. I mean, if you're supposed to try and pull them out of the fire, then you have to encourage them too. I know the word is there. I've read it not too long ago. I just can't remember where I read it, but I know it's there. And that we have to do these things. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Hey, Pat, how's it going, bud? Caught you with your mouth full. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right, Andrew. This encouragement thing is really essential in the body. Really essential. And that's why I like to do it. All right, yes, Pat. We were talking quantum faith, but go ahead. Anything is open tonight.
Yeah, I, can you hear me?
Yes.
I think the verse that, Andrew was talking about was in Jude 1:22 there. I plugged it into the chat, but, I got shifted over to night shift here for a week. So that's, I'm at my job right now. We're doing some stuff here at night. So I don't, it's kind of a slow night for me for supervision wise, but I was just thinking about, today, some of the things that are happening today in the world, the whole white hats scenario that's happening in our government structures, and in between the shutting down of the Babylonian Empire and transitioning over to the Medo-Persian. And it's interesting, I think I heard now that the White Hats are in negotiations in some form or another with the deep state, because of the fact that they are about to be taken completely out. And I believe there's negotiation, at least this is what, you know, you don't know what is true and what isn't these days on some of the stuff you're listening to, but it appears as though that there are negotiations that the deep state will make certain concessions in their absolute surrender. And if they do so, then they will be allowed to live or remain in some fashion or other. And if this is the case, I can see the establishment or the transition over into the Medo-Persian Empire, so to speak, the rebuilding of the temple, and because these Babylonian Satanists have been allowed to remain in some form or other, that there could potentially then be a resurgence and a taking back over. I think David has spoken about it, you know, that there's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is going to be relatively peaceful, or at least with little opposition. And then the second half will become when the establishment of the mark of the beast, and that will be full-fledged everybody into the wilderness type of scenario. So that whole process makes sense to me as I'm seeing kind of this thing unfold. But one thing I've noticed over the last year or so is that some people that I have not been able to speak with relative to some of these things that are happening behind the scenes are somehow now a little bit more open to listening to you know, what's behind this, they're starting to see that man behind the curtain over there that's pulled all the strings, that is, and there's just so many things that are evident, that are in your face evident, that it's hard not to put two and two together. But the thing that I believe is motivating or allowing people the grace to entertain or to seek out or search out these things, if they be true, is they can see the destruction, imminent destruction that is on the way if we continue on in the same course. And there are, you know, there's the fear is starting to motivate people to seek the Lord, I believe. And so I know in that verse where it says, and on, in Jude says, and on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I'm sure there's a lot more in that Book of Jude that expresses a lot of what is going on right now. But there's just so many things that seem to be coming together here in these times. I know I guess Bible helps or reading helps and stuff. I think they have some of it in eSword and whatever. And what they are is certain, I think, morning, noon, and day, and, you know, different devotional things that were written, you know, 200 years ago by the previous saints of the past. And I know if you get in the habit of reading those devotionals, they appear to be, a lot of them appear to be more soothing, encouraging, which obviously is good. We all need to be encouraged and to strengthen those hands that are sagging down, and we all need to see the light and see the salvation that the Lord is giving us on a daily basis. But the writers in those, in the 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s, etc., they could not, they weren't under the pressures that we in this age are under. They weren't faced with certain conditions that we are experiencing in this later end of the age. They had no concept what cell phones were because there was no electricity. You know, there was a very, very different world in those days. And again, not that those influences and those writings and those things aren't important and aren't supportive and nurturing, but they were meant to be part of the whole. And the whole apparatus, shall we say, of the kingdom of God is going to be applied and implemented in these, in this later age that we're in now. All of the positive aspects of our forefathers and the foundations of faith and truth and revelation that was revealed and brought into the Christian people of God mindset are all going to be implemented in their fullness in this end age. And mostly because it will be absolutely necessary that all these aspects of Christ's life will be evident and functioning within us, again, because of the necessity of the time, because of this end of the age gathering in. The purpose of the body of Christ will be to bring in the harvest, bring in the gathering into God's house. And so I don't know how I got onto that whole thing. I think it was from Andrew talking about pulling them out of the fire and some with mercy is kind of what I was thinking. But I think it's just interesting how God has brought this whole package together at the end. And it will be because of the fear of the Lord that men will depart from evil and men will be, and people will be brought into his kingdom. I guess it's up to us and as a group, as an individual, as a body of Christ, but as individuals to learn to cooperate with God in knowing when to speak, what to speak, and how to speak, and meet people's needs where they're at in this time frame. So I guess that is my prayer, that the Lord would fill us with his spirit and with his word and truth, and unleash his understanding within us to be able to respond to the need of this present age. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? One thing you asked about, I believe it was Andrew asked about it, talking about the grace of God and bring some of these people back. I'll tell you something that I found out. The love of God far exceeds our mind comprehension. The grace of God is just so far out there. Yes, you can believe for these people. You can believe for them. You can pray for them and watch what God does. He wants, you know, God loves people. A lot of people think God's sitting up there with a ball bat ready to smack them every time they mess up. And it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. And it's hard for some of us to understand because of the life that we've lived, you know. But God is the reason that he sent his son to die was for us. He's going to give everybody a chance, every chance in the world that he can to make it to heaven. There are some that don't want heaven. And he'll reprobate them because they do too much. They turn their back on him. But I'm telling you, there's going to be some that have done that also that God's going to save. It's just in our little finite world that we live in, you know, we see justice as justice, you know. That's right, Barbara. He's not wishing that anyone would perish. And his grace is far exceeds our thought life. And I praise God for it. Praise God. You know, he put up with my nonsense for 50 years before I ever came to him. For goodness sake, that's ignorance gone to seed there. But God, you know, he does collect you up and said, okay, Michael, come on in, brother. It's time to go to work. Lots of people are answered now that are, you would never think that were. You're going to see people, we're going to see people in heaven and say, there ain't no way he could have made it to heaven. Or she could have made it to heaven. Now, how'd you get here? You know, how's some of the stuff that you're going to see? And some that you thought were going to make it ain't going to make it. But all that God wants to be made is going to be there. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, just because you said all that, I just want to read this one verse just in case someone comes in and listens to this, you know, by accident. And it's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is one that I think is what you're supposed to know right away, but I'm just going to read it anyway. Having blotted out the handwriting against us in ordinances, which were contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the midst, nailing it to the cross. So you see, that's the ordinances of those people who want to put you under a law, you know. And you know, further on, it talks about in 21, handle not, taste, nor touch, you know. And some, I was told once that verses speak twice. And, you know, you got two hands and one tongue. And don't forget, the tongue is attached to the eyes, too, because it is. The scriptures say so. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So you got some good eyes to look through, because he blessed you with them. And don't say he didn't bless you with them, because he blessed you with them. Because blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Count your blessings. That's one of them. You have purity in your eyes, which is holiness. Praise and glory to God. So here you have this verse that just takes apart the lawyers, the laws, you know, even the law, you know, you get those people who say, you've got to live after the law of the land. Well, there's some truth in that. But is the law of the land, when Peter said, honor all men, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. You know who said that? That was Peter. What did they do to him? What did the king do to him? Anyway, and Paul had to say something about that too in Romans 13. So there were laws there that canceled these people out. Will there be laws? As we know there will be, as we read about them, that will take out Christianity. And will we stand? It's kind of sad because the ones who don't stand, how much time is left for them? 3.5 years, maybe? 3.5, 1,335 days till you get 45 days into the year of wrath for those who go from mortal to immortality. But even if you go from the grave to heaven, you sometimes wonder which one would be more glorious for your Father. You know, is it the mortal going to immortality at that time? But you're going to have to be filled with a lot of glory to go through those years. And or is the martyr's crown also very glorious also? And of course, any amount of glory is what you would attain to. And the Lord is in charge. Sometimes you wonder how much glory you have, but I sometimes wonder if he puts that wonder how much glory you have. So that's a better way. He's responsible for telling you how much glory you have. So why would he give you that thought? Because is it to keep you diligent and careful? Or could you be getting this thought in a negative way and you got to cast it down? So there's this slick lawyer, that's a sly slick lawyer, sometimes will try and trick us that way. You know, that he'll say, well, how much glory do you think you have? And of course, that could be a positive sense or a negative sense, you know. Never think of the negative, and you can't compare yourselves to each other. We compare ourselves to the Lord. So that's if he's taken the handwriting out for all of us, nailing it to the cross, then we have our cross. That's the best way to think of it. And you know, they used to say no cross, no crown, but no word, no cross, no crown is what they should say. Because if you don't got the word, how are you going to get the fruit to crown him with many crowns, like the song says, eh? Crown him with many crown, you know? So I think it's no word, no cross, no crown, no fruit. but we want all those. So don't say no, say yes to all. Because you know what? It sounds like you're cheering when it says yay in the old English. Don't say yay or nay. Say yay. And it's always yay. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. That's exactly right. Anyone else going to share anything? Yeah, Joe. I thought you would.
What started me, let me get my words straight. Yeah, sorry. On Monday night, Lord, during Monday, I spoke to the Lord about many things, but one thing I asked him is, why sometimes speak too quickly? And I was thinking about it and asking for a word on it. He gave me 1 Corinthians 13:13, that when hope, faith, and love, and hope is different. But that's what triggered me when you, Michael, talking about this, meant that God is love. Well, I make a study of it, and it's so awesome how the Lord showed me many things about myself, specific about love. If you change love, that's a big love chapter. Well, Andrew loved to talk about it. But God says when in Second John chapter 1 and verse 6, and says, and this is love, that we should walk up these commandments. If you change the word love to agape and agape to obedience, that's what love means. It changed the whole thing about, for me, about in First Corinthians, when you talk about, if you started with love suffered long, and you think about it, obedience suffered long. So everything about the love chapter is going about obedience. And the last, and talking about the last thing in chapter 8 and verse 8, he says, love never faileth. And if you change that love to obedience, that's what God wants of us. Everybody wants, he wants obedience. All the people just ask is, why is there so much suffering in the world? It's because of God's love. What is his love? It's obedience. It's not a feeling of what people told you. It's your emotional or sexual or whatever it is. It's obedience. That's why we have to get your obedience. But that makes me think of what, when you started this with this, Ben was talking about that two timelines when he started that. That's why love, God is love, or God is obedience. If you don't have obedience, in almost like positive thinking, you have to change your mind. It's not a natural thing. A natural is do what you will. You're in the world and enjoy life. But love, God is love, is obedience. If you don't have obedience, then why do you ask the question, why is there so much suffering in the world? So I was just thinking about them. Just Lord just opened up for me many things now with this, the word love. Love is not just love as in we use it too quickly. Love is obedient. Think about obedient. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Amen, Joe. That's right. That's exactly right. I never thought about changing that to obedience. I'm going to do that. Changing the love chapter from love to obedience. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm just going to tell you about a scenario.
Okay. That happened to me
in my journey. A person from my workplace came up to me one day. I was doing my work, and he interrupted my work, and he said, "You know what just happened to me? You know, I went and did a delivery, delivered one of our printed stuff. And this woman started railing at me and telling me I'm all this, you know, and I'm looking at him and I'm going, man, if he would have handled this correctly, he would have known who was in charge of all this. He would have known that he has to handle this with the love. You know, and so what do you say to a person like that, you know? So I remember I said, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't see this all happen. How do I know this happened? And I sort of had to smile at the same time when I said this, you know. And then he just looked at me kind of like a serious look. And I said, you know, you should go into the office and say what happened, you know, because this is an upset customer now, you know. We don't want to lose a customer. And I don't know what panned out after that, but here you have a person that if he was a Christian, he would have worded it differently. He would have said, Andrew, I was treated really badly. I need some prayer or something like that. But that's not what came out of his mouth. You know, he wanted me to jump on his side, you know. And now you're going to be jumping on a division side here, though. So this is an element that sometimes happens to a person, you know, and it's so nonchalant, it's so easy for it to come around, you know. So you know who you're talking to, because especially like if it's a person at work who you know is not saved, you got to be real careful on how you deal with these people in a kind and loving way, too, because, you know, I was trying to make a joke about it, but he may have been a little bit offended, but He didn't show it after, you know, because I gave him pretty good advice to go and say just what happened, you know. You might expect an email or a phone call from this person now. And they're very sharp with me. So anyway, I just wanted to show that just by the demeanor of a person and how he reacts to something and how they come and try to bring you bad news about stuff, you got to watch out for those things too. Because you know who you worked with, and I'm sure there's a lot of examples of this that happen in your people's lives who have been out there. And, you know, and sometimes it might even happen with loved ones, you know. So you gotta really be led by the Lord for these things. Not to fly off the handle like some people do and present company. I've done it a few times myself, you know, and we need to be trained in this way and by the Lord. Because I'm sure they flew off the handle too with Jesus and with Paul and Peter, you know, so, and with John the Baptist, you know, look what he said right in front of the king. Come on, you know. You know, you can't have her. She, you can't marry your brother's wife, you know, throw him in prison. So it's interesting how you can relate that storyline with some of the storylines that you go through on a daily basis. I know it doesn't go that way. It just reacts to what the Lord wants you to do. You don't think of the story necessarily, but you can relate it later, you know, after you've been through it. Hey, that's what happened over there in this instance in the New Testament or somewhere else, you know, in the Old Testament even. And then you go, yeah, you know, and then just trying to clarify some of these things that happened to us, you know. And that's why, you know, I wonder how I'm just going to state a comment here, how the Pilgrim's Progress would go with this quantum faith thing we have. You see, that too is important, you know. He wanted the leads for the healing of the nations, you know, and of course you who clean your walk and wash your robes, you have authority over the tree of life and to enter by the gates into the city. And my wonder is if some person actually read that verse and visited heaven. Because we know that happens. It's in 22:14 of Revelation. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? We've still got a little bit of time. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I just ask for some opinions, all your wisdom people, actually, in that 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, the second part, what do I understand on believeth or love, never believe, love believeth all things? What's that, believeth all things? What does that mean to some of you or all of you? Believeth all things, love, believeth all things. What does it mean? You understand the question, do we? Michael has two hands up, or Julia and Andrew.
Yeah, go ahead, Julia or Andrew. I don't know who was first. I was muted. I was telling there somebody to go ahead.
We couldn't hear you, so I was waiting. Anyhow, what was coming to me is a teaching David did somewhere. I don't know which one it was, but anyhow, that part of it is, like love believes all things that are true. We don't believe the evil about somebody. We believe the good about somebody. We believe that which is true. Love believeth all things that are true. You know, you don't believe the lies. That's how I read it. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's how I remember it.
Okay. Andrew, did you have something?
I was going to just say it was clear across the board there. It says, if it's love, covereth all, believeth all, hopeth all, endureth all. So I would think of it as all the different rooms of love, all the different aspects of love. So, which is very similar to what Julie's saying, because if we're gonna have that pure eye that we're supposed to have, then how are we gonna see even our worst enemy? Anyway, love your enemies,
yeah,
that persecute you. You know, love your neighbor. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul. So I just think it's all four of those, or was it five? Maybe it would be five. I don't know. Praise God.
Amen. Thanks, yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking more, I guess, love believes that all things are possible for the one that that love is bestowed upon. That love refuses to believe evil or negative, or even in the face of opposition, that love still believes that all things are possible. And even this contemplation about quantum faith and moving our heart and mind towards what we envision and hope and expect to happen, or expect to that we believe that through that love all things are possible. I mean, that's all there is to it. You're dealing with an awesome God that is not limited. And I threw something in the chat there, even that thought that the thief, I've read that, I hadn't thought about it before, but I read it, both thieves, when they were going to the cross, were criticizing Jesus. One thief on the cross never repented, never stopped. But the other one, even upon that cross, God changed his heart. And he entered into paradise, even at that last moment. So all things are possible to him that loves. So anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking and what Joe was asking there.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that love that God has is that we're going to experience it. We're going to experience it. Thank you, Father. Well, folks, we're out of time. Lord, we just praise you, glorify you for the encouragement tonight. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that a lot of people gave their revelations, and we praise you for that also too, Lord. Thank you for showing us this at this time in our walk with you, Lord, this quantum faith. It really has helped a numerous people with it once you understand it. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful grace to us too. In Jesus' name, be with us. Give everybody a good night's sleep or a good day's work. In Jesus' name, and we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that Missy's going to be supernaturally supercharged in the morning. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. Well, where'd it go?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's just because of what Pat said. He got me going here.
Wait just a minute. Where's my record thing at? Does anybody see it? Okay, here we go. See y'all.